Environment Matters, sponsored by Wuka Period Pants, the reusable menstrual underwear that completely replaces disposables. Find out more at wuka.co.uk and join the revolution.
And a big welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around St Albans and from further afield. Coming up later, we'll hear from Louise and from Helen from Plot 31, who will be revealing the dirty secret of our Mother's Day bouquet and perhaps coming up with a suggestion for something a little better. But first, spring is always such an exciting time of year for anybody keeping an eye on birds, whether you're a keen bird watcher or whether you've just been noticing birdsong as you wake up in the morning. I spoke to Dan Fletcher to find out a little bit more how birds are managing at the moment and what we might do to help. Dan, thank you very much for joining me. Now,
you're welcome.
I'm struggling to keep up with the weather at the moment. First, it's as warm as June, then it's as windy as October, and then we're back to sort of chilly February-type weather. I've got a wardrobe of clothes and a lovely warm home to retreat to. How have birds been affected?
I think the birds have been affected by this. It's not quite the same as last year with the Beast from the East, which really affected a lot of wildlife. It hasn't been quite as devastating as that, but there has been an effect in a number of summer migrants arriving very early, much earlier than we might expect them, in February and into March.
So Dan, I know it was warmer here, and I know that therefore it was kind of nicer for spring migrants, but how did a bird in Africa know that it was going to be warmer here? Why did they come early?
Well, one of the reasons that it is warmer here is because warm winds are coming from the south, from Africa, from across southern Europe, and it's those warm winds that also bring the birds up as well. So they will use the winds to help them to fly north, and maybe they're taking a punt on whether it's good or not. Maybe they just think it's spring-like where they are, so it's time to move north as well.
Very clever. But given the weather, since it's quite a big risk, isn't it?
It is a risk because then, yes, it could and probably will turn cold again. And then yes. Certainly the insect-eating birds will potentially suffer as a result of that.
Yes. Now, I've noticed a female blackbird sneaking over the fence with little strips of dry grass in her beak. Is it about the right time for birds to be nesting?
Birds are starting to build nests. I watched a pair of long-tailed tits starting to build their nest back in February, actually, late February. So the birds are starting to do that, and it is an important time of year. Even if they haven't started breeding yet, they will be building nests in preparation for that.
Yeah, and is that about where you would expect it to be in the season, or has the warm weather brought that forward as well?
There certainly have been examples of birds which have already nested and chicks have appeared. I've seen records of tawny owls doing that and various ducks and geese. Ducks and geese tend to be some of them tend to be a bit earlier anyway. But yeah. I think in some cases, yes, the season is moving forward for these birds because they're taking advantage of the warmer weather to lay their eggs and hopefully get a brood out.
Yes. Now, in my garden, I had some artichoke plants and they have lovely sort of thistle-like fluffy seed heads on, which I had actually, accidentally left, but I noticed a little bird pulling little fluffy bits out of there, presumably to take for nesting. Is there anything else we can put out that might be helpful for nesting birds at the moment?
I think we maybe like to keep our gardens nice and tidy, but the birds will help with the tidying and help to take some things away. So maybe leave a little bit of your garden, leave a little area which is less tidy, which has dry things, dead bits of vegetation which can be used. I mentioned long-tailed tits. They can be very good at taking sort of scraps of wool and cotton wool and things like that, which they find just to build their very soft and delicate nests.
Yeah, so you could put sort of artificialish things like that up, but actually just having an area with just some long grass or whatever that you've left is as useful as anything for them.
It is, yeah.
Okay. Now, I suppose actually if they're bringing on baby birds and things like that, it presumably this is an important time of year for feeding as well, isn't it?
It is, and it is still helpful to continue to put food out for birds. perhaps less with sort of the larger things like peanuts, which can be problematic for young chicks, but it is helpful to put some food out for birds. Although I have noticed in my garden that although there is plenty of food for the birds there, they are finding food in the trees, insects in particular. So so even if you put food out, that doesn't necessarily guarantee that the birds will come, but put it out there. And fat type products are good when it does become very cold,
right?
Particularly when it's surprisingly cold after a warm period, and the birds may value those fat products because that gives them lots of energy.
Okay, good tip there. Now, obviously, birds nesting, I suppose then it's too late to put nest boxes out now, is it?
Well, in some ways, it's never too late to put nest boxes out. Even if you put one out this year, it doesn't get used this year. It will be something that the local wildlife will be familiar with. And so when the next breeding season comes around, it will be well weathered in, and it may be more attractive to them than if you put it out a few weeks before the breeding season started. So I think birds do need places to nest, and they do need some help with that. So, yes, don't be discouraged. Put one out any time.
That's brilliant. And, of course, if it's not great for birds for spring this year, it certainly will be for next year.
And they may use it to roost in the wintertime when they need some warmth. Some birds, wrens do that, for example. They will, groups of them will gather in a nest box and use it as a warm place to roost. So,
well, that's it. Mm-hmm. I'm down this weekend putting nest boxes out then. Dan,
excellent.
Thank you very much indeed.
You're welcome.
And I was talking there to Dan Fletcher of St Albans RSPB. Now, do take a look at the St Albans RSPB website if you are interested in finding out more about birds. They're an active local group and they're really welcoming and they love to share their knowledge. And if you heard last week's show, you'll know that they run Heron Watch down at Verulamium Lake until the 12th of May between 11 and 3 o'clock every weekend and bank holiday. And they invite you to go there and to learn more about these fascinating birds and to look through their telescope at the heronry as the eggs hatch and the heron's chicks grow into young birds. And do, if you'd like to volunteer as a heron watcher, and as Dan explained last week, you don't need to know anything about herons. They'll give you everything you need to know. Then do email st-albans-rspb@hotmail.co.uk. Or you can find all of that on the St Albans RSPB website as well. Now, Mother's Day is coming up this weekend and quite a lot of us will be going out, rushing out to buy some lovely flowers for our mums. But at what cost to the environment are these flowers? And is there a more sustainable alternative? I spoke to Louise and Helen from Plot 31 to find out. Louise, Helen, thank you very much indeed for joining me. So let's start with you, Louise. The carbon footprint of our flowers, the ones that we buy in the shops, where do these flowers tend to come from?
Well, on the whole, they come from parts of Africa and South America. They often go via Holland and then into the UK and into other parts of Europe. So they've travelled a long way.
They are well-travelled flowers by the time they get to us, haven't they? And there's been some new research, hasn't there, analysing the carbon footprint of imported flowers versus British flowers. What did it find?
Well, that's right. So there's a lady called Angela Coulton who's done some research with Coventry University, and they've looked at the carbon footprint on a stem-by-stem basis. But to make it a bit easier for us to take in, they've put a summary together that looks at a sort of standard bunch of flowers. So if you've got perhaps a bunch of roses, lilies and gypsophila from Kenya or from somewhere similar to that, it's going to come into this country with a CO2 emissions of about 30 kilograms.
30 kilograms one bunch of flowers?
That's right. And to put that into context, a single flight to Paris in economy sort of clocks up about 59. So, one bunch of flowers has a big impact.
Do you know, I am seriously shocked by that.
It is. It's quite scary, isn't it? But if you then look at a British commercial, I'm still large-scale commercial grower, you can bring that down to just over 3, so 10 times less.
Right.
And then even if you can go even further and buy from a local grower who's grown locally, sold locally, you can bring it down again to just over 1.7. So heavy on the statistics there, but yes, still interesting to know when you're making that choice.
An informed choice is a good choice, isn't it? And is it just the carbon footprint, or are there other issues with flowers we buy in the shops?
I think there's a whole range of social and environmental issues to do with water and chemicals. For growers to bring flowers, to sort of export their flowers all the way over here, they have to be drenched with pesticides, fungicides, preservatives, otherwise they're just not going to make that journey. Although that doesn't affect you as the buyer, the people who work with those flowers are exposed to that all
yes,
the time.
And of course there's impacts in the environment, the place where they're grown.
Absolutely,
as well,
yes. Water usage, lots of things that we can't really control, we don't know about because there's not really adequate standards or labelling.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of an unknown quantity, but it's certainly over the years there's been huge growth in those parts of the world and it's not regulated.
Yeah. Well, good that you've highlighted that there then, isn't it? So, Helen, Plot 31 is mm-hmm. trying to offer a sustainable alternative to the usual shop-bought flowers. You grow flowers locally and in community gardens to sell locally. Tell us a little bit more about last year. That was your first big year, wasn't it?
Last year was our first big year. We had flowers available to sell from the end of May right through to October. Quite a challenging year. We had a very long cold winter and then it seemed like somebody just turned the oven on and it went hot and dry. But we did very well. We supplied flowers to Lustman's restaurant in Harpenden and we supplied for small events for people to come and collect. Yes, it's been very exciting and challenging. But we've learned a lot. It's been good fun.
Oh, well, it sounds like it. And it sounds like, you know, actually already having commercial contracts like with Lustman's obviously was a pretty good first year for you.
Yeah.
How about this year? What's going to be new this year, Louise? Oh, Helen, are you going to tell us about that?
Very exciting. We've started a community garden on the outskirts of Harpenden in Batford. It's set in some allotments. Louise and I are going to be there every Tuesday. And the idea is we want to welcome as many people as possible to come down and join us in the garden, get some of the benefits of being outdoors, active and being with friends. We're going to be here. We're going to be growing vegetables as well. So we're going to have a vegetable plot, large vegetable plot, herbs, and also our cut flowers. And then the people who come and garden with us can take the produce home with them.
Oh, right. OK, so you will be sort of rewarding their efforts with... That sounds fantastic. And, of course, they'll have all the therapeutic and learning benefits of working with you. So how about if we, for whatever reason, can't come and join you on the plot, how can we buy your lovely flowers and the vegetables as well?
Well, we're still offering a subscription service, so that means it's a little bit of a special rate. If you're happy to sign up for 4 deliveries, you can collect loose flowers from us in buckets if you can email and let us know what you're after. And we also do supply for small parties and weddings and even farewell flowers as well.
Right, okay. That sounds lovely. And of course, we can find information about all of that on your website, Plot 31.
That's right.
Quite easy to find.
Yep.
Lovely website. So getting back to the matter in hand, what do we do about Mother's Day and making it a bit more sustainable?
Well, I think really the message is to, if you can, buy British. Even in the supermarkets now, you're going to see bunches of flowers that have a Union Jack on them. That's a good choice. That's it's a place to start. If you don't want to buy in the supermarket, obviously, you can come and buy from us. We actually made a conscious choice this year not to have an early season because we had the community garden to get up and running and a lot of digging to do. So for Mother's Day, we can offer you a voucher or a subscription. And hopefully you can come back to us maybe by Easter for some real flowers.
So if you get the subscription, that means your mum can look forward to 4 beautiful bunches of flowers throughout the summer, just on Mother's Day.
Seasonal.
That sounds absolutely fantastic. Helen, Louise, thank you very much indeed for joining me.
Thank you.
And I was talking there to Helen and Louise from Plot 31, the community flower farm. Now, other ideas for Mother's Day gifts that don't cost the earth. How about some spring bulbs, a lovely pot of little daffodils or other spring bulbs? We'll go down very well. Of course, they can be planted out in the garden so they can be enjoyed next year as well. A little bit more expensive, but how about a tree sapling? We've got some lovely local garden centres down at Aylett's or perhaps up at Carpenter's or down at Burston Tyler's, where they can sell you a beautiful little tree, perhaps with blossom on it this time of year, which will develop into an even more beautiful tree in years to come, or perhaps tying in with what Dan was saying just a little bit earlier in the show. How about a bird feeder to welcoming some beautiful birds to your garden or outdoor space? I'm sure every mum would really love that as well. Now, if you're interested in solutions to the problem of plastic waste, then you'll be interested in the London and South East branch of the Institute of Physics lecture over at the University of Hertfordshire. This is one of their lecture series, and it is entitled Plastic Waste: How Can We Reduce the Problems? It's next Wednesday, the 3rd of April at 7 o'clock. It's in the Lindop Building on their College Lane campus. They say, over the last century, plastic has become part of everyday life. Well, they're right about that. From bottles and bags to plastic pots, tubs and trays, how can we reduce plastic waste? Now, Sophie Thomas will be discussing ways through design and citizen action of reducing that plastic waste. Now, Sophie Thomas is a founding director of Thomas Matthews Communication Design. She's a recognised leader in the investigation and promotion of the circular economy design principles to tackle the marine plastic pollution problem. So that sounds like a pretty interesting talk. And you can find out more about that if you go to the Institute of Physics website, which is events.iop.org. And I say that's over at the University of Hertfordshire next Wednesday, the 3rd of April. Now, do follow me on Twitter at RV_environment. Get a bit of a heads up of what's on the show and other things. Like our page on Facebook as well. That's the Environment Matters page. And do drop me a line if you're doing something fantastic for the environment in or around St. Albans. If you've got a comment about the show or ideas you'd like us to cover, you can do that at amanda@radioverulam.com. I'll be back at the same time next week. Until then, thank you for joining me.
Environment Matters, sponsored by Wooka Period Pants, the reusable menstrual underwear that completely replaces disposables. Find out more at wooka.co.uk and join the revolution.